Luis Nieves Ruiz.
Richard Sutherland.
So, Richard, can you tell me a little about growing up, where you came from?
Sure. I was born in Uvalde, Texas on July 19, 1940. I was one of seven children. We lived down on the river, so to speak, in a one-room house that had a porch. We had no electricity, no running water, no indoor plumbing. We had an outhouse. So it was fairly Spartan.
What made you join the military? And at what age did you join?
Okay, a good question. I had gone to school in Monahans, Texas, out in West Texas, Odessa, Midland area, the oil country. And without any money, without any guidance, I decided to follow her, went to Odessa College, which was 36 miles away. So we actually commuted back and forth. She got an apartment there, but I had a trailer house at the back of my parents' property. So we did that, and after 2 years, I studied hard. I was on the honor roll, the dean's list, and I was broke and fatigued, so I decided to get my military service out of the way. So I volunteered for the draft, and in the meantime, a recruiter came to see my mom and me and said, well, look, you know, your son is, you know, fairly bright guy. He's at college. You know, instead of simply going into the Army and for 2 years and getting a nowhere job or assignment, if he were to join, he could join the Army Security Agency, and there's a good chance that he would get the Army Language School. So we decided that that was a good course, and that's what I did. And they shipped me to Fort Ord in June 1st of 1960 for basic training, and I spent 2 months there. And then, in fact, I was assigned to the Army Language School. The language was not certain, so what the captain did for about seven of us who were going there, he pulled out a deck of cards and had us draw cards. I drew a deuce, so the only thing left was Chinese. And I will tell you, being a boy from West Texas, not having any exposure to Chinese, I was shaking in my boots. Anyhow, so I started school in August of 1960 at the Army Language School. It's now called the Defense Language Institute, and started Chinese. It just turned out that it was a perfect match between me and the Chinese language because I had a near photographic memory. And so I really learned it fast. In fact, did so well that they kept me there another year. And after that, I was assigned to headquarters on Okinawa. I worked with the NSA and, of course, a lot of the other soldiers who, because of the nature of the assignment, tended all to be college educated, and a lot of them came from the Ivy League schools and other such schools back east. And what I learned in the process was that I was as smart as, if not smarter in many cases, than those guys. So here I was, this kid from West Texas who had had no exposure to the world. All of a sudden, here I was doing this kind of work with people who were from the elite group, so to speak, in the country. So it changed my whole outlook on what I would do with my life. So when I got out of the military, I went back to California, because after you spend a year or two at Monterey with Pebble Beach, Carmel, Santa Cruz, there's no desire to go back to West Texas, and so I did not. But I got my BA at Whittier, and then got my MA at Southern Cal. I then applied for and was accepted to Harvard Graduate School. I went through there in 3 years, working on my PhD in Chinese history, and then I stayed on and I got my law degree from Harvard as well. And after that, well, while there, I met my wife, who was working on her PhD in chemistry, and she decided then, upon my encouragement, to go into medicine instead. So we moved to California, where she went to Stanford Medical School, did her internship medical school there. And so we stayed there for 42 years before retiring to Florida in 2015.
Where do you think you will be if you had not joined the military?
You know, I shudder to think about that, because I didn't feel comfortable living in Texas culturally. My mom was from New York. She was born and reared in Buffalo, New York, and she inculcated certain other values in me and outlooks on life. So I would not have thrived in Texas the way I did somewhere else.
Are there any stories, other stories you want to share with us?
Well, you know, I think the interesting thing is the element of luck and how it is that the captain drew the deuce. I probably would not have chosen Chinese, but by having done so and by being in school for so long, you know, that's how I ended up meeting my wife, who's 10 years younger than me. She didn't know how old I was when we met. She didn't ask, and I didn't tell. She just assumed that I had gone from college into law school, but I had 4 years of college, 4 years of the U.S. Army, and 5 years of graduate school before we met. By the time she did find out, we were already married.
Were you able to visit mainland China as part of your service?
You know, I couldn't do it in the service because I graduated from law school in 1973, and China had not yet opened to the West. It was still the kind of the Magic Kingdom. However, when I was working on my PhD, I did spend a year on Taiwan. Stanford University had a program for Chinese language studies at Taipei, Taiwan, at the National University there. It's now located in Beijing, but all of our instructors were from Beijing, so the language that we learned was Mandarin with the Beijing accent. And later I did go to mainland China in 1982, and then the mayors of San Francisco and San Jose put together an East Asia Economic Mission in 1989. They asked me to go because they wanted a lawyer who could speak Chinese. And so I did go back then, and a great experience. I was going to do some business with the mainland, but then on June 4, 1989, there was the Tiananmen Square incident, and it shut down everything for a while. And by the time it got started again, I was off doing something else.
Any remembrances of specific people in the military that still strike a chord with you?
Well, there are. You know, the I remember Sergeant Shoemaker in basic training. We're walking down the street. We were in the camp, and he came up to me and he said, "Sutherland, what are you doing in the U.S. Army?" And I told him, I said, "Sergeant, you know, I will be leaving and going back to college." I remember the chief, the sergeant, telling us one day that we were all going to be sick, we were going to be sad, and we were going to be sorry. You know, in retrospect, I'm not sorry at all. You know, it was a great experience. I met some really great people. But for the U.S. Army, I don't know what would have happened, but it wouldn't have been as good as it did.